Good morning and welcome to the Grace Hour broadcast, brought to you every Sunday morning at this time by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. This morning we have with us, once again, Reverend Jacob McLean, pastor of the Hampton Green Missionary Church and chairman of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. We invite you to contact us for comment or if you desire counsel. Our email address is mcaj@cwjamaica.com. This morning's broadcast is brought to you by the Portmore Missionary Church, located in Edgewater, St. Catherine. Reverend Spencer Cahoon, along with Associate Pastor Kavon Edwards and the congregation, invite you to worship with them in their morning service at 8. We encourage you to invite your deaf relatives or friends to come and share in the service, as we do have sign language interpreters to assist throughout the service. Do stay with us. In a moment, we bring you this morning's message.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are.
Good morning. We have been examining the methods of the Lord Jesus Christ in evangelizing. Last week, we looked at the method Jesus used in sifting out the genuine disciples from the would-be disciples who were not prepared to count the cost and make the sacrifice of true discipleship. Today, I'll be looking at how Jesus targeted the prospective disciples. In a sense, all of Jesus' approach to evangelizing could be considered as targeting. As the all-knowing and sovereign Lord, he never made a mistake. His strategy was defined and specific. He knew exactly what he was doing from day to day as he carried out his mission that was pre-planned from eternity. In choosing his disciples, he was aware of their capacities and the heart and soul of each one. There were no chance occurrences in the life of Jesus, no unplanned events, and no surprises. Let's look at Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus, an example of Jesus' use of the targeting strategy recorded in St. John chapter 3. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was initially attracted to Jesus because of the miracles he performed. He wanted to know more about Jesus and the doctrines that he taught. Nicodemus himself was a teacher of the Jews, and he had great respect for the teacher from Galilee. The evidence indicates that Nicodemus was deeply sincere in his quest for truth. He was a man of high moral character, deep religious hunger, and yet profound spiritual darkness. In order to instruct Nicodemus in the basics of salvation, the Lord Jesus used four quite different illustrations. The first one was birth. In responding to Nicodemus, the Lord began with what was familiar. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word translated born again also means born from above. Though all human beings have experienced natural birth on earth, if they expect to go to heaven, they must experience a supernatural spiritual birth from above. Nicodemus did not understand that the Savior was talking about a spiritual birth. He could only think of a physical birth. The situation is no different today. When you talk with people about being born again, they often begin to discuss their family's religious heritage, their church membership, their religious ceremonies, and so on. Being a patient teacher, Jesus picked up on Nicodemus' words and further explained the new birth. To be born of water is to be born physically, but to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. So there are two agencies for spiritual birth: the Spirit of God, John 3 verse 5, and the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and ministers to the sinner's heart and thereby imparts the life of God. Jesus was not teaching that the new birth comes through water, baptism. In the New Testament, baptism is connected with death, not birth, and no amount of physical water can cause spiritual change in a person. The emphasis is on believing, because salvation comes through faith. The evidence of salvation is a witness of the Spirit within the believer's heart, Romans 8 verse 9, and the Spirit enters the life of the person who believes, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. The second illustration is wind. The word wind in Hebrew and Greek can be translated spirit. One of the symbols of the Spirit of God in the Bible is a wind or breath, Acts 2 verse 2. Like the wind, the Spirit is invisible but powerful, and you cannot explain or predict the movements of the wind. The Spirit of God, in combination with the Word of God, imparts spiritual life. The nation of Israel, including Nicodemus and fellow council members, was dead and hopeless, and in spite of the morality and religion of the people, they needed the life of the Spirit. The new birth from above is necessary. You must be born again, but it is also a mystery. Everyone who is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You cannot fully explain or predict the wind, and you cannot explain the mystery of the new birth. The third illustration, the serpent on the pole, verse 14 to verse 18. The Bible records in Numbers chapter 21, verse 49, that the nation of Israel had rebelled against God and had to be punished. God sent fiery serpents that bit the people so that many died. This also a story of grace, for Moses interceded for the people, and God provided a remedy. He told Moses to make a brass serpent and lift it up on a pole for all to see. Any stricken person who looked at the serpent would immediately be healed. So it is also a story of faith. When the people looked by faith, they were saved. The verb lifted up has a dual meaning: to be crucified, as in John 8 verse 28, and to be glorified and exalted. In his gospel, John points out that Jesus' crucifixion was actually the means of his glorification, chapter 12 verse 23. The cross was not the end of his glory, it was a means of his glory. Much as the serpent was lifted up on that pole, so the Son of God would be lifted up on a cross to save us from our sins and eternal death. How is a person born from above? How is he or she saved from eternal perishing? By believing on Jesus Christ, by looking to him in faith. The serpent in Moses' day brought physical life to dying Jews, but Jesus Christ gives eternal life to anyone who trusts in him. The fourth and final illustration, light and darkness. This is one of the major images used in the Gospel of John. Why would sinners not come into the light of life? Because they love the darkness. They want to persist in their evil deeds, and this keeps them from coming to the light. For the closer the sinner gets to the light, the more his sins are exposed. It is not intellectual problems that keep people from trusting Christ. It is a moral and spiritual blindness that keeps them loving the darkness and hating the light. Nicodemus finally got and came to the light. He was in the midnight of confusion when he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night, and his soul was in darkness, although he was a religious man. But eventually, he came out into the light when he identified with Christ at Calvary, John 19, 38 to 42. he realized that the uplifted Savior was indeed the Son of God. It might appear as if Nicodemus had set up his own appointment with Jesus, but on the contrary, he was on the divine schedule of Jesus. Jesus targeted him and was waiting for him and brought him into the light. And he realized that indeed the uplifted Savior was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Next week, we look at two other persons whom Jesus targeted.
Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Life everlasting. Strength for today. Taste the living water and never thirst again.
We do trust that you are blessed and challenged by this morning's message delivered by Reverend Jacob McLean. For comment or if you desire counsel, you can email us at mcaj@cwjamaica.com. Before we go, we have some announcements to share with you. The Jamaica Theological Seminary, 14 to 16 West Avenue, Kingston 8, presents the annual Dr. Clive Affleck lecture series on the theme Changing World, Unchanging Word. This afternoon at 5, with guest speaker, His Excellency, the Most Honorable Sir Patrick Allen, Governor General of Jamaica. All are welcome to attend. Are you looking for a dynamic ministry in the Word using the Jamaican language? Here is your opportunity to be trained in Oral Bible Storytelling, OBS, using Jamaican Creole, our beloved patois. If you truly want to reach especially our at-risk young men for Christ, mark the date of March 9 through to 13 when Wycliffe Caribbean will conduct an OBS training workshop with professional trainers. To register for this training opportunity, call Wycliffe Caribbean at 876-754-9334. The Queensbury Missionary Church invites persons in and around the community of Southeast St. Elizabeth to their believers' meetings starting today through to Wednesday, March 11, beginning at 6:30 each evening. The ordination service for Pastor Dalkeith Bennett will be at the Springground Missionary Church, Springground, Manchester, on Saturday, March 14, commencing at 2 p.m. We'd like to thank once again the Portmore Missionary Church located in Edgewater, St. Catherine, for sponsoring this morning's broadcast. The pastor, Reverend Spencer Cahoon, along with Associate Pastor Kavor Edwards and the congregation, invite you to worship with them in their morning service at 8. We encourage you to invite your deaf relatives or friends to come and share in the service, as we do have sign language interpreters to assist throughout the service. The Grace Hour is brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm Nigel Wilkinson, and we pray that you will experience God's richest blessings during the coming week.
Come just as you are. Come and see Christ my King.